Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
My bad. Top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and the Wildcats host DePaul, Illinois, Purdue, Wisconsin, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. On tomorrow's show, Cody Westerlund will be on. We will talk Bulls with him after their game against Charlotte tonight, which you can hear here on The Score with Chuck and Bill. 6:45 pregame for that. And we will also talk with Cam Ellis, and we'll get his musings on the week that was for your Chicago Bears. Plus, we'll see who else gets rich because of baseball in between now and then. And maybe, just maybe, the White Sox will look at this and go, yeah, we're in a win now window. Perhaps we should start signing some people. Transition is being... No, you're probably right, Herbie. This transition is being brought to you by the fine folks over at with Amy Kite and Keller Williams Realty Infinity. If you're looking for someone to help you buy a place or sell a place, Amy Kite's team is the real deal. Hit them up. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. I look on the Twitch, and I see two of my favorites. This really, like, this right here is legit, like, the Score middle children. This is it right here. Me, Speegs, Ranji. This is what we got. What's up, boys?
I think we should all go out and get like a convertible Mustang, right? We're having our mid-score life crisis right now.
I like Do that. Like a nice Vette, get a Corvette.
When I first started producing McNeil, what, 95, 96, he had like a green convertible Mustang. Do you remember that thing, Lawrence? It was
Yeah,
like,
and I remember, didn't Terry have one too?
I think so. I think they both did. They were in the prime of
I'm pretty sure Terry had a Corvette.
Oh, Terry had a lot of muscle cars through the years, like hardcore muscle cars. But yeah, Mac was definitely trying to get back in touch with the prime of a young Dan McNeil. Hi, Ranger. What's up, buddy?
Hello, friends. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. Like, that Good. Was a really nice, long weekend. Didn't work on Wednesday, so I had 5 days. But I like what we do for a living. I have so many thoughts. I had thoughts all 5 days. I'm following the entire Bears ridiculousness, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all of it. Just breathlessly, and my wife's like, "You're not working. You're not working." It's like, you don't understand. I'm
doesn't
in.
Matter. Yeah.
I'm so in. Right, following along with all that madness.
I'm right there with you. That's why I came in and did the show Friday, because I needed a microphone, Speegs, to talk about the Bears after the Thanksgiving game and how they were acting as if, like, it was so hilarious because Nagy's out there acting like something happened. Like, now we became a team today. We became a team. And correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't the Bears lose every game after Mike Ditka said that?
Oh God,
I'm pretty sure they did.
I don't know.
But that's what it felt like. It felt like here's Matt Nagy's redemption story, using every single second to beat the Detroit Lions.
I understand from his perspective, wanting that game against Detroit to mean something. But there, like, if the world is right, if it is just, that game has absolutely no bearing on his future or the future of the team. It doesn't. If a decision is not already made about what's going to happen moving forward, then what are we doing here? Like, they, I mean, they already have to know by now.
Yeah.
And I know that he had kind of a long week, and I understand he went through a lot. And him, you know, fist pumping on the sideline, like, I get some of that raw emotion because it was troubling for him. I totally understand that. But that game should be totally inconsequential to the future of the franchise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I bet that it is. But what happened during that course of that week, like, we're going to get more out of this story at one point, because if what Brad Biggs reported is true, and that's, of course, the guy you trust more than anyone throughout the entire process, then why the hell are you canceling practice on Tuesday after... Yeah. You know, canceling your second walkthrough and suspending meetings for the day once you have a conversation with the bosses. What does that have to do with a vote of confidence that comes from George McCaskey? Right, that doesn't jibe with the rest of the week. So I think it is still completely possible that they were going to fire him and word got out and they backed off of it. And now they're just going to hold on to him to the rest of the season. I think that is still possible.
Cody and I talked about that on, I guess it was, yeah, it was Wednesday.
Friday.
The game. Or was it Friday?
Yeah,
whatever.
Because we talked about
No, it was prior to the game. And
oh, okay.
It was, yeah. And we talked about that idea of, not that it would necessarily be out of spite, but I could see a situation in which they have made up their mind, this is going to happen. Oh, no, it got out. Well, we're not going to do it now, because you all know about it and that would look bad. So, yeah, we're not going to do it. And I don't think it's a spiteful thing to do it that way, but it's almost like we're not going to do it on your timeline now,
mm-hmm.
because the press got a hold of it and it got out to everyone.
Right. Like, oh, we should have told Matt before we told, you know, Mason McCaskey or Miles McCaskey or Jimmy Joe McCaskey, whichever McCaskey leaked that to Mark Conkle. From the big old family, Billy Bob McCaskey. He's in there somewhere, right? So yeah, I mean the whole thing is
as I told Ranji and Dak on Friday Speaks.
Yeah.
What I was told was it's likely that Conkle was told this story by a source, but the source was not empowered to make it happen.
Right.
So they're part of a collaboration of people that might be involved in it but couldn't make it happen, which is why you don't go with just one source on a story that's that big. And I'll tell you, I've heard that Nagy's meetings over the last few weeks have been bizarre.
Just his meetings with the team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have been different than what they have been before.
That doesn't surprise me. I have a Matt Nagy thought and a comp for him that I'm going to run by Ranger and the audience after we get going and finish up transition. But, I mean, here we are doing baseball today. I love the self-imposed deadline that the players and management have and the frenzy that it is forcing to happen. But I heard you say, Lawrence, like, when are the White Sox going to get in? And I was talking about it with Bernsie earlier today. They've got $22 million of room right now underneath the luxury tax, the de facto salary cap, that the competitive balance tax. So $22 million. I can't imagine Jerry Reinsdorf wanting the payroll to be above that. So that means you got $22 million of room. They've been trying like crazy to move Craig Kimbrell in his $16
right.
million. And they can't yet. So if they could do that, then they've got 38 to play with, and you could figure out, you know, what you're going to do at your multiple positions of knee. But right now, with just 22, they're left in a wait and see mode here as the deadline hits.
Yeah, I'm looking around and I'm seeing some of I never thought that they were going to be in on Marcus Semien. I just think the length and the dollars are going to be too much for what it is that they want to do, even though he would be a good fit for them in second base. I wish him well with the deal that he got for himself down in Texas. I still think that they need starting pitching help. And I know that people want to automatically pencil in Michael Kopech, and I think that's a dangerous game to play. Yeah, he's going to take some starts, but there's no record of Michael Kopech having success as a starter at the major league level. So expecting that he's just going to take over the spot that Carlos Rodon is in, or that you're gonna everyone's gonna move up a spot in the rotation, I think that's a really dangerous game. I think that they have to look at this as making sure that they bring in an established middle of the road, maybe better than middle of the road starter, along with adding Kopech into their rotation. As much as I like hard Carl, I don't want it to be Carlos Rodon. I am happy right. with what he accomplished. I am happy that he kind of rehabilitated himself both physically and mentally. I wish him well. I hope he gets his money. I just don't need the White Sox to be the team to give him that money.
Yeah, and the thing about Kopech is it's not just there's no precedent for him doing it at the major league level. There's no precedent for him doing it at the major league level for 160, 170, or whatever innings. And that's kind of what they're looking for here. I think you at least need to have somebody that's capable of pitching a full season. There might be, you know, some injuries along the way that typically happens with starters, but they lost, I think, too much time to starter injuries last year as it is. And he's going to be coming from the bullpen, going straight into a rotation spot. You're not going to get length out of him, not for a full season. So you have to be insulated for that. And I think they're doing that. I mean, I would have to hope that that's one of their big goals before the offseason is over, is that you make sure that unit, you know, your starting five is as comfortable as they could possibly be in getting you innings throughout the season. And I'm aware the game is not played exactly the same anymore. I know starters don't go as deep as they used to, but you still need that quite a bit throughout the year. This isn't, I mean, the entire game is not openers pitching two innings and then going to the bullpen and then having bullpen days. That happens sometimes, but you got to be able to have starters take the ball and go long in games and have that happen frequently, or you're going to be in trouble by the time you get to the playoffs.
There's not that many really good names left. Like, guys have flown away. I mean, they're not going to spend Robbie Ray money. And Marcus Stroman, you know, is very yeah. interesting, but I don't think he's going to come here and play for Tony. He has basically said that.
I'd have really liked Gosman.
That
would have been
I think
great.
I am more sold on that dude than most. There are some people that are afraid, but that guy, he was absolutely my number one starting pitcher on the market. If there were more swings and misses on his split-fingered fastball than anybody else's pitch in all of baseball. And I know that he basically ended up being a two-pitch guy, but that's okay. That's okay. Dwight Gooden was a two-pitch pitcher, you know? I mean, Roger Clemens for a long time was a two-pitch pitcher, and then he expands. Giolito's whole resurgence was based on figuring out changeup and four-seamer, right? Two pitches that look alike and then split. That's what Gausman's do, the splitter and his fastball. They look alike and then split. You can use that for a long, long time, and it's the basis of your identity. And that dude's arm is strong. But I think White Sox and Cubs never had a chance. Did you see I retweeted it into the ecosystem a couple hours ago. He grew up a huge Roy Halladay fan and changed his number to 34 after Halladay died. And I think he wanted to be in Toronto because when he was a kid, he idolized Halladay in Toronto specifically. So he chose a real good up-and-coming team with a legacy of a guy he wants to honor. So, good for him.
That's really cool.
I know.
Well, I wonder, I think that you're probably right. Maybe there isn't anything big that happens with the White Sox because they have Craig Kimbrel and they need to go ahead and try and trade Craig Kimbrel. Mm. But still, it does feel like a run on the bank. Like, it's a wonderful life. Where the players are like, we got to get this money. We don't get this money. And I'm not sure how that ends up playing as far as their negotiations with the CBA go.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm thrilled right now to still have a moment here to just be talking hot stove and just talking players and fit and where they're going. Because in about 48 hours, baseball conversation is going to end up being about the giant crap show that is negotiations. And there's so many issues. Like, the salary cap floor is going to come in. There's going to be a new proposal for the draft. There, you know, a new way of doing a lottery for the draft, so that can change things. You know, universal DH. Like, there's expanded playoffs. There's so many issues on the table that this thing is going to take a while.
I am hoping that, I think the timeline here is, if they don't get to some kind of deal by the middle of February, actually, if they don't get to it by February 1, you should probably really start to worry. And then if it's March 1st, then now you're looking at probably games off the schedule at the start of the season. I am players. I am pro players in this. I am pro
and pro
labor.
Player stadium.
And pro player stadium, pro player jackets. I am I'm very much on the side of the labor here, right? And I they don't get a whole lot of victories. Not over the course of the history of baseball have the players gotten victories. And I'm kind of willing to let them and watch them hold out if they have to. And I know nobody wants to do it, and the players are probably going to cave at the last minute.
Oh, that's generous of you, man. You're going to give up a season. Yeah. You'd give up a season of your beloved sport.
If it meant players got a win, yeah. And I know fans are like, what the hell are you talking? I don't care.
I just said.
You kind of should care, I guess.
I just said I'm so happy we can talk actual hot stove and not to have to talk about the freaking negotiation crap. Come on, Ranger.
I'm starting to think about how the hell would we program the station? What things could then talk about? Could do a little bit more spring football? Like, the promos are like, hear what Matt Spiegel has to say about Notre Dame's spring game.
Coming up next
on 670 The Score.
It'd been a long time. It'd been, frankly, since last season, but I was touched very aggressively and lovingly. By the college football angel.
Oh, damn.
On Saturday.
That's not what I was thinking.
But by the college football angel on Saturday, I watched big chunks of like six different rivalry games and had so much fun watching. And I realized something that I didn't know for sure, but now I can say I like Jim Harbaugh. He's a wackadoodle, but I like him, and I was happy for him. I was like, I felt personally happy for him, and I realized I kind of like that family. Like, I like that Jack Harbaugh was the dude driving those kids around to football practice, and he used to be the dad sitting in the front, and he would say, hey, who's got it better than us? And Jim and John would go,
Nobody.
And we did that, and now Jim still does that with his teams. I don't know if John does, but, like, that kind of, like, super ebullient gratitude for life and wacky, zesty personality and Harbaugh.
But you
himself.
See it with John too, where John's out there. Hey, Lamar, you want to go for it?
Yep, let's do it. Yeah, it's fun, man.
How does a quarterback who throws four interceptions win a football?
I don't know.
It's amazing.
But and Ryan Day talking smack about like, yeah, we want to put up 100 on him, and Harbaugh takes a shot back at him in the post game the other day. So I enjoyed the hell out of that.
Have you
well,
guys
see, that's
seen...
what we'll do when Ronji gets his wish and it's locked out, then we'll just do college football stuff.
Yeah. Let's have that lockout, baby. Have you guys seen the movie Free Guy yet?
No.
The Ryan Reynolds movie?
Yeah, no, I saw it. He's a character in a video game. He's like the random extra guy in a video game.
Yeah, and he's artificial intelligence. He doesn't know that he's that. He thinks he's real. But anyway, he goes to his closet.
Spoiler
and his
alert.
Closet.
Seriously.
Sorry, this is like at the beginning. His closet is the same blue shirt, like 12 of them in a row, and then the same pair of pants, like 12 of them in a row. I assume that's what Jim Harbaugh's locker or like his closet looks like.
That's exactly
like
what
same,
it is.
The same pair of pants, the
it's
same
Walmart
shirt.
Khakis, and it just, right? Isn't that what,
yeah, yeah,
what
yeah,
he
it's
wears?
Walmart khakis.
He was busted out of Walmart buying khakis. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Got all the money in the world wearing the same pair of pants every day.
And there's something to the idea. Like Steve Jobs did this too, where
Einstein too.
They don't want to waste time on like putting an outfit together because you got other things that are on your mind. It's nice to just know what you're going to wear.
Absolutely. And then the Iron Bowl was my first real exposure to the horrific new overtime rules of penalty kicks. You know, I mean, like, I know Illinois had what? The one that was like
the nine overtime game.
The nine overtime game. I wasn't watching that thing live. I was watching. It is so unsatisfying live to see a game come down to that.
And a game that was so
good. So good. And so passionate, like always, and people making big plays. And that Auburn quarterback sucks, but he stepped up and made a couple of big plays when it needed to happen. And but then for it to be decided on that, they can't do that. They can't. They got to figure something else out.
I know Twitter is not a real representation of the populace because it something like 25% of the tweets are done by 75% of the users and only like 20% of the population entirely is on Twitter. But when the consensus is that this rule sucks, like you're watching these games, you're following along on Twitter and every single person says this is terrible. Why would they ruin such a great game and finish it this way?
Mm-hmm.
You hope that the people who are in charge pay attention to some stuff like that and go, maybe we ought to tweak this. Maybe we ought to let this one go.
Yeah, I mean,
but I don't think they are.
It is universally loathed. I was realizing, though, something changed in the NFL. If the category is rule changes that are universally loved, is there anybody who doesn't like the longer extra point? Like, I love the longer extra point now. I think it's been absolutely great. Sometimes they miss. Sometimes it makes the choice legitimately different. Like, I think it's way better. I can't imagine there's anybody who's like, I miss the automatic extra point. Those were the good days.
That the decision is more consequential now.
Yes.
I'm with you. I'm with you guys on it. I'm here for Speaks, it was driving me crazy, like, watching that game. It was really driving me crazy, but I felt like Auburn made a strategic mistake. They score that touchdown at the end of overtime one. Go for two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go for two, win the game or lose it, but don't allow the game to extend, because if you allow the game to extend, Bama's going to win it because they've got more talent than you and your quarterback's broken.
Yes, absolutely. Breaking news on the score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Uh-oh. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Anthony Herron is confirming that Jim Harbaugh is now a Lululemon guy.
Oh no.
That's the breaking news.
Okay.
One of his
players. He should come hang out. Well, Chicago's a good place because they just opened the Lululemon store in Hyde Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of them.
Go get me some pants and some shorts with Coach Harbaugh.
He joins Danny Parkins in being a Lululemon pants guy.
So, I will say this, Lululemon, extremely comfortable.
Agreed.
Isn't that nice?
Lululemon shorts.
Yeah.
And they are extremely comfortable. And now that there's one legitimately down the street from me, they will be getting all of my gentrified money.
I've got the yoga pants. My ass really pops.
Does it? It
pops. Yeah, I believe
that.
Agreed,
How is your money gentrified? How does money become gentrified?
Well, I mean, if Lululemon pops up in your neighborhood, neighborhood is in full-fledged gentrification.
So your neighbor, I just didn't know if maybe your money got gentrified. It got sort of cleaned up, and it was all shiny and spiffy all of a sudden.
It's gonna go in there and buy some khaki shorts because those shorts are comfortable as hell.
So some actual breaking news for the BetQL read, Robbie Ray is going to the Mariners for 5 years and $115 million. Jerry DePoto is a crazy person. And, so there's Robbie Ray getting a little bit more than Gaussman. But Max Scherzer gets the most.
He gets the biggest after season three for Ray. He gets an opt-out after that third season.
You realize Max Scherzer is making $15 million each of the next 3 years from the Nationals as part of the deferred money from his last contract? So he's got that in addition to the $43 he's making per year from the Mets. So that's a cool $58 that's hitting the bank account the next 3 years for Max Scherzer.
They can have that Moneyball conversation, the Billy Bean, David Justice conversation, where he says, that's what the Yankees think of you. They're paying you $8 million to not play for them.
Absolutely.
But then again, you want Scherzer at this point, I think. It's different.
We've got Boomer Esiason coming up at 3 o'clock. Our guy J.P. Morosi will talk MLB Hot Stove and a little Michigan football at 3:40. Pat Manley at 4. We're going to talk about the Beatles documentary. I've only seen episode 1. Ranger's seen all 3, but he's not going to spoil it for me because I'm still holding out hope. No. Damn
they broke
it.
Up.
I thought maybe they were going to stick together.
Are they also AI and don't know it? Is that... thanks for spoiling it, jerk.
They might be. I'm not so sure about Ringo. He might be.
Oh, man. He's a swashbuckling, handsome young man, isn't he?
He's kind of adorable.
He was always adorable. He always had. He probably still is. Anyway, Lawrence, talk to you tomorrow. Welcome back, and have a great afternoon.
All right, boys. I'll see you.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.